So it's Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 11 down to verse 22. So 1819 if you have a black church Bible. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who are near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So we'll end the reading there, and let's just pause as we pray and ask for the Lord's help as we look at his word together. Father, we pray for your help. We pray that as we look at a passage like this from so many thousands of years ago, we pray for your help to see its relevance for us today, to see its application, to see the truth, to hear your voice coming through. And Lord, do that by your Spirit. Speak to us and help us so that we'd be built up to be the people that you want us to be. So we pray for your help, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Division in this world, you just need to look around and see that society is divided. Pretty much anywhere we go, we'll find division. They may be minor things, they may be major things. Even here on our own island of Ireland, there's a dividing border. There is a separate country up north and a republic down south. There's a border that divides one island that historically would have been one. Even as we go to other countries, we see borders that divide country from country. Some of this is quite amicable and agreed upon, but some causes war. Andrew mentioned to us the problem in Barcelona and the Catalans wanting to break free from Spain, and there's division in society everywhere we look. Closer to home, we see division in our families, amongst our friends, different views that we have. There's division everywhere around us. But this passage that we're looking at today is calling us to look at those divisions and to stand united on Christ. As God's people, we have unity together. That's what Paul is trying to talk about here. The Jew and the Gentile have been reconciled together to be united under Christ. He starts off, Paul, by reminding the Ephesians that they're to remember something. They're to remember what they were. Remember what they were before Christ, that they were alienated. I don't know how good you are at remembering. Do you need to set reminders for yourself on your phone or put post-its on the fridge? My memories are pretty bad. Even going back a few years, Grace has a far better memory than I do. Places we were, even clothes we were wearing, things that we did, those things go out of my mind. But how good is your memory? And Paul is asking us to remember what we were before Christ. He's writing to the Ephesians that they were alienated from God, and they were alienated from his people. They were isolated. They were cut off. They weren't part of God's people or his family. There were barriers of division between God and these Ephesians that Paul is writing to, and there were barriers of division between the Jews and the Gentiles, between these Ephesians and the Jews who were God's chosen people. They were excluded. They were foreigners. You know, Jews and Gentiles, they didn't get along at all. We get a sense of this from verse 11, where there seems to be a bit of name-calling. Can you see it's like Paul has put it in inverted commas. The uncircumcised, or the circumcision. There was name-calling. There was animosity between these two groups. There was an enormous dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles. These cultures, these groups just did not mix. There was literally a wall. In Jerusalem, where the temple was, there were different parts of the temple, but there was a big wall outside the inner part of the temple, and that was the court of the Gentiles. There was a big wall erected, and no Gentile could go any further or closer to God. They found a stone slab in 1871, which in Greek was translated to say, "No foreigner or Gentile may enter within the barrier and enclosure round the temple." That's normal enough. "Anyone who is caught doing so will have himself to blame for his ensuing death." These groups were fundamentally opposed to each other, and they just could not get on. In fact, this wall of division was so great that if a Jewish boy married a Gentile girl, or vice versa, the funeral of that Jewish boy or girl would be carried out. So great was this animosity between Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews, that if a Jew were to enter into marriage, then it was as if they were dead. This was the scale of the animosity between these two groups, this wall between them. They were alienated. But you know, this wasn't the most serious or extreme division that the Ephesians were facing before Christ. They were alienated from God himself. Look at verse 12. It says, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world." There was division horizontally between people groups, but the biggest problem, and actually the reason for that division, was the vertical division in that they were separated from Christ. They were without hope. They were without God in the world. For the Gentiles, those who were outside of God's people, there was no hope of a future. There was no promised Savior to come from the Gentile nations. Little did they know that the promised Messiah was for the Jews and Gentiles, a fact that the Jews maybe failed to recognize or didn't want to recognize. The Messiah was coming for the nations. But there was this insurmountable wall between the Ephesians and God. Their sin excluded them from a relationship with God. They were not part of the chosen people, Israel. Paul talks about this alienation at the start of the chapter. Look at verse 1. "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath." This dividing wall of sin meant that God's wrath was on them. They were divided from God. And this is what we need to remember. As we read a passage like this, Paul is asking his readers, not just then but now, to remember what we were before Christ. We were alienated from God. We need to remember where we've come from. And that will deal with our pride or any sense of entitlement for where we are now. We too were alienated from God. We stood behind this great wall of sin and were enemies of God. his wrath was on us. We were without Christ, without hope, and without God in this world. Remember where we've come from. It's a pretty bleak picture. But as we'll see as we move through this passage, Christ tears down those walls of division. But where do we see this sort of alienation and division between people today in our society? Well, it's everywhere. Maybe it's so common, sometimes we struggle to see it. There's division everywhere. Maybe we think about the Middle East. That's what this picture is. It's a wall in Israel. I think it's called the separation wall between Israel and Palestine, separating one people group from another. Maybe we think of something like that. Or closer to home, we think only a few generations ago here in Ireland, for a Catholic to marry a Protestant in society, maybe they would have even got the same sort of treatment. Maybe the funeral wouldn't have been carried out, but they may have been excluded from their families. Racism, ageism, sexism, divisions based on political views or economic views, all coming through because of the great division between mankind and God. Well, what if we get closer and closer to home again? What about within our own church? Do we find division here? Well, there's a warning for us when we look at the Jewish people. They were God's chosen people to be a light to the nations. But what developed was this arrogance and this disdain for other nations that they weren't like us. They didn't do what we did. Their practices were pagan and terrible. They didn't practice the religion the way we did. They were uncircumcised. The Jews were privileged to be God's people, but actually they were to be a witness to the nations, to display God's character to them, to draw them to him. As one writer puts it, the privilege Israel enjoyed was real. The arrogance and disdain was a failure. How do we view others around us? We're very privileged to be part of God's family, but how do we view and treat those outside of God's family? Or even those within his family? Well, I can feel superior to you because I know more about the Bible than you do. Well, I've been a Christian for 20 years, so of course I know better than you. Do we have arrogant attitudes to others who don't believe in Jesus? Or maybe we have arrogant views towards our fellow brothers and sisters because we think we have it all right and together, and they're just catching up. We need to remember where we have come from. We were alienated from God just like anyone else. We were alienated from his people, and now all we have is Christ. That, like that wonderful song that we've learned, all we have is Christ, and that's our foundation. He's the only reason we're here, nothing we've done, and that will humble us and unite us. So remembering what we were, let's look at what Christ has accomplished for us. Let's look at verse 13. It says, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. The wall of division between the two groups, between the Jews and the Gentiles, was torn down. It was destroyed. Does anyone know what this picture is? It's Berlin Wall. This wall that stood between West Germany and East Germany, a physical wall barring people moving from one side to the other. But then in 1989, the wall came down. This wall was broken, and there was freedom of movement between the two. This barrier between this one country was broken down. And that's what Christ did on the cross. He tore down that wall which divided the Jew and the Gentile. You can see this slab falling away. Imagine when Christ died in the cross, he put away that wall. He defeated the hostility that was there. So no longer was ethnicity or nationality an issue. In Christ, the barrier between Jews and Gentiles was removed. This fractured and broken relationship could now be restored. Reconciliation was possible. This is what happened through Christ, that the people were reconciled. Relationships could be made right again. Have you experienced relationship that was broken but then was fixed again? Maybe you can think of a friend you had an argument with and there was a barrier between you. You couldn't be friends. You couldn't talk like you used to talk. Maybe with a family member, there was just distance. There was awkwardness. Something's happened. It's broken. There's a barrier between us. Maybe we've divided on some view we had. But then sometimes that relationship can be restored, that barrier can be taken away, and we can enjoy the friendship again. We can be united together as friends or as family, maybe in our relationships with each other, husbands and wives. That's what Christ did when he broke down that wall and allowed two groups that had no reason to be together to be united. And Christ's purpose was to create one new humanity. Think about that. What an incredible thought that Jesus came to create a new race of people, a people united not by ethnicity or politics or nationality, but a Jesus people, a new humanity of faith, totally diverse but united in him. So this wall between the groups has been destroyed. But the most important relationship of all is fixed. Together, this new humanity, this new race, this new group of people that Jesus is creating is reconciled to God through the cross. Look at the end of verse 15. It says, his purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace. And in this one body, to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which he put to death their hostility. This barrier of sin, this wall of exclusion between mankind and God has been destroyed by Christ. Together as God's new people, as his new race, this new identity, we can serve God and draw near to him because this barrier has been removed. The vertical relationship has been restored. And now we can work that the horizontal relationships around us can be restored as well. God has removed the barriers of hostility and division through Jesus to create this new humanity. And we are it. We are the new humanity. We're a glimpse of that new city that Andrew talked about yesterday. The people living in the city, the united Jesus people who live there, we are it now. And we're a glimpse of those around to see what it's like to be part of this new mankind that Christ has created. We're a showcase of what God is doing. So we're reconciled to God and to each other. Through faith in Christ, we're on level ground, none better than others, serving him together from whatever background. And we know the world is divided. Wherever we go, there's division. Like we said, things like race, age, politics, gender. We see these things being the cause of so much division in our society. But what are the things in Ireland, here at home, that are causing division? Well, we might think immediately of the issue of abortion that's on the table at the moment. This is an issue that's going to go right through the heart of Ireland and divide people into two camps. Now, this is an issue that the church can stand united on, so maybe it's not the best example, but I wonder, is a large division in Irish society based on social status? Irish society is generally welcoming of those from outside our country. We welcome those who come in, but what about those from a different economic background from within our own society? Do we avoid those less fortunate than us? Or maybe even We don't avoid them, but we just don't have anything to do with them. Our groupings are divided because we don't associate with those of different social status as us. How can we change this? Or do we look up at those from wealthy backgrounds with envy or disdain? But in the midst of division all around us, the church can stand as a group united, with those barriers that in society might be erected and might be apparent wherever we go, Christ has torn those down in the church. As Andrew put it yesterday, wherever you're from, Jesus welcomes you. If we're all welcomed by Jesus, who are we not to extend that welcome to everyone? There's no people group, no nationality, no social status that is unwelcome in the church because we stand united in Christ. Relationships are made right again between us and God and between each other as a result. Christ has brought this reconciliation and the barriers are removed. So remembering what we were, alienated from God and from each other, and seeing what Christ has done to tear down these barriers, we need to reflect and think about what we are now together. We're united in Christ. Look at the last few verses from verse 18. For through him we both have access, so Jews and Gentiles, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. These two groups, the Jews and the Gentiles, both had access to the Father by one Spirit. There wasn't one Spirit for the Jews, and there was another Holy Spirit for the Gentiles. There's one Spirit. We saw in Acts that that was a sign that God had blessed what was happening. He sent his Spirit. His Spirit came, and that was confirmation that God was approving of what was happening. If God's Spirit came on the Gentiles, the apostles thought, who are we to exclude them from God's people? We have access to God by the one Spirit. That puts us all on the same level. We're coming to the Father through Jesus by one Spirit. And now what we are, no longer foreigners or strangers, far off or alienated from God's people, but we're fellow citizens with God's people. We're united. The Ephesians started off being excluded from citizenship in Israel, but now they are fellow citizens with God's people. Don't know where you're a citizen of. Usually it's indicated by the passport that you have. Maybe some people have dual citizenship. They have a British passport and an Irish passport. That generally indicates the country that we belong to, the country that will stand over us when we get in trouble, the country that we identify with as, this is my place. I'm a citizen of this place, this country that I come from. But Paul's now saying, these Ephesians, these outsiders, these Gentiles, non-Jewish people, you're now citizens of Israel. You're now citizens of God's people, of God's kingdom, you now belong. Once they did not belong, but now they belong to this kingdom. Once we were not citizens of God's kingdom, but now we are citizens. Maybe you might like to think now that we've got dual citizenship, or tri-citizenship if you've already got dual citizenship. But actually this one is the foundation for who we are. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's as God's people. And then where we come from comes under that. Our foundation is that we're citizens of God's kingdom. We belong to God's household. And together we form part of a building of which Jesus is the cornerstone. And in him the building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. We're people united in Christ, forming parts of the building of Christ, the church. We're all, he's using the imagery of a building. We're all bricks in the building of Christ. Small bricks, large bricks, strong bricks, weak bricks. We're all part of that building, that holy temple, with Christ as the cornerstone. Elsewhere, Paul talks about the church as a body. There's one body with many different parts. There's eyes and ears and hands and feet and mouths and noses. There's all different parts, but one body. Those distinctions are our differences, our backgrounds, our cultures. They're not excluded, but actually they wonderfully come together to form what is God's people, what is his church, united in Christ. But what does it all mean? We're many parts but one entity. God's united people, united in Christ. He's the foundation, he's the chief cornerstone, and we grow and are built on him. We're many different kinds of people, but we're all part of God's new humanity. Now, if there were no chairs, I'd probably get you all to stand up and we do some sort of exercise like the children did this morning, where we stand on one side if we're from one country or speak one language. It'd be wonderful to see the different backgrounds that we have here, the diversity that we have in our church here in Westside, and the diversity within the churches in Ireland and throughout the world that forms the greater, big building that is God's church on earth. We have different cultures, different ages, different ethnicities, but we stand united in a world that's so divided, and it's normal in the world to be so divided. You stick with your group, you have your people, you do your thing, but that's not how it works in the church. We're united in Christ, and even though we're so different, whatever it might be, we're united in him. And we need to display what God is doing, bringing a new humanity into existence, one under Christ, where peace and harmony dwell. So what does that mean for us? I think Andrew described it really nicely yesterday, that we don't do away with who we are when we become a Christian, when we become part of God's family. It actually enhances who we are. To be fully Irish is to be part of God's family from Ireland. To be fully human is to be part of God's family as a human being. No matter what language you speak or how old you are, to be enhanced in who you are is to be part of God's family through faith in Christ. We are more who we are when we come to Jesus. Let's think a little bit about being united together. What does it mean for us in Westside to be united? Well, it means putting others around us first. Thinking of others' preferences before our own. Think about the sort of unity that we'd have if we're all seeking what's best for the other person. Unity breaks down where there's a few people or groups of people who just want what's best for themselves. Maybe they'll justify it with certain reasons or not, but imagine the sort of unity we'd have where actually I want what you would prefer. Imagine that sort of unity together. Keeping our vision of Christ in focus, we'll begin to be united as we see our primary identity in him. All divisions are no longer divisions, they're just differences. It's okay to have a different taste in music, or in food, or in sport, or in hobbies, or to speak a different language. But because of our identity in Jesus, we can enjoy each other's cultures, enjoy each other's quirks and our differences. And I think, as I was thinking about this, I think I need help to begin to process what sort of differences among us might cause division. What sorts of things can divide us as God's people? Don't think that's something that we can sum up in 30 seconds. I think this is something we need to reflect on. What are the things in our church in Westside that might cause division? I think the Lord has blessed us so much here in Westside that there is a sense of unity. There is harmony together. But what can we watch out for? What are the danger signs that unity is breaking up a bit? What about things in the future that we might have to look towards and guard against? I was trying to think of what these things might be together as a church. Maybe things like styles of worship come to mind. I think together we have such a wonderful unity in how we do that, but maybe as we move forwards, maybe one group will want something over the others. Or maybe the inclusion or the exclusion of certain gifts and how we practice gifts and how we work out how we feel God has gifted us. Together as a church, we need to be united in Christ, even if we have differing views on certain things. Or how is the church going to be governed? Who are going to be the leaders in the church in the future? How are we going to decide who that is? What if one group wants one thing and another another? How do we decide? Well, we need to be united in Christ and work forwards. Maybe you have better examples than I do. I'd love to hear them. How can we guard against things that could divide us in church? If we feel united, we can't just sit back and think, praise the Lord. We need to be guarding against the unity that God has given to us. If these things cause division and our unity crumbles away, that light that we learned about being last week, the light amongst the darkness, will flicker and go out. Okay, so that's maybe some of the church practices or things we do together. What about broken relationships? What about anger and bitterness amongst each other, maybe because of unkind words or just thoughtless behavior? Exclusion from one group, or only some people are included in another. Can we stay united even though we're broken people? Yes, we can, because we're united in Christ. Jesus is the one who brings us together. And even though we're broken, we can have those relationships restored together. And I thought maybe, just as we finish up, is it helpful to think through? So together in Westside, we want to be united. But as God's people, his church, we want to be united as believers. How do we relate with other churches, with other brothers and sisters from other groups, from other churches who trust in Jesus? Maybe is that where we can see some of these walls coming up quickly? Maybe those issues of things like styles of worship or spiritual gifts, church governance, baptism, are they causing division in our hearts towards other believers? Do we think we're right, so therefore we look down on other people, other Christians who may be different? Maybe you've met another Christian who loves Jesus, who trusts him, who follows him and seeks to honor him and share the gospel with other people, but they have different views on things. Well, we can engage with our differences together, and we may still disagree. That's fine. But we could be united in Christ, serving him together and bringing the gospel to those who need to hear. Maybe quite a straightforward example is one of baptism. Baptism is one that different churches have divisions over because of the way they think it should be practiced. Here in Westside, we believe that as someone comes to faith, that we believe that they've repented and they'll be baptized. That's something that we believe, but yet there are other Christians who trust Jesus, who love him, who know the gospel, but they see a different view, that they think that as a baby is born, the baby needs to be baptized. These are differing views, and it would be wrong of us to look down on each other because we think, well, we're definitely right and they're wrong, so therefore we're better Christians than they are. That's a nail in the coffin to get rid of unity. We need to be united as God's people, primarily together here as one church, but as we have relationships outside of church, the foundation of Christ is the basis of working together. So then if we're confident in our foundation, we can be comfortable with our differences. That's relevant here together, but also as we interact with other Christians around us. Knowing who we are in Christ means that we can rest in that security. And when faced with other views or opinions on secondary things, on less important things, we don't need to be defensive or threatened, but we can be united in Christ, seeking to bring him to those who need to hear. United on the foundation of what Jesus has done on the cross for us. And as long as that's our foundation, we can overcome barriers of division between ourselves, with other churches around us, but incredibly that division, that ultimate one between us and God, because Christ has destroyed that wall between us. Once we were far off, alienated from each other and God, but now Jesus has torn down that wall between us and God, between each other, and we're being made into a new humanity, a united people, a holy temple in the Lord with Christ Jesus as the chief cornerstone, who's our foundation, the basis for being united as God's people. Let's pray as we finish our time together. Lord, we pray for your help as we think through some of these things about being united together in Christ. As your people, we need your help to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as our foundation, to break down those walls of race or age or ethnicity, gender, whatever it might be, Lord, remove those barriers so that together as your people, we would be united in a world that's so divided. Help us to work that out day to day as we interact with each other, as we relate to one another, as we relate to fellow brothers and sisters. Give us wisdom as we interact with opposing views or different things we think are unhelpful. Give us wisdom, but Lord, help us to stand united, always on Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we have such a firm foundation in him, that he keeps us firm, he keeps us strong. So Lord, grow our unity together so that we would be that light to the nations, that people would see the new humanity you're creating and would be so attracted to it that they would come and they would long to be part of this wonderfully united people. And Lord, we need your spirit to do that, that one spirit that we have access to you. We pray for his help to work these things out. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.